We cannot see what is going on in heaven, but God pulls back the curtain every so often in His Word, and we're able to see the scene in heaven of what is going on. Now today, we're going to see from a heavenly viewpoint the preparation for the judgment of the people of God who have rejected their God.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Clay from Nebraska. He says, "Thank you so much. I appreciate what you're doing. May God continue to bless your program." Well, Clay, you are so welcome, and we are so thankful for the privilege to have God's Word going out. And yes, we continue to pray that God would bless this broadcast also, that His Word would go out mightily, and that the lost would be saved and His people would be equipped. So thank you so much for contacting us, Clay. Now, at this point, we continue our study in the book of Ezekiel, and we come to chapter 10, where after a little review, and we're going to take a look at cherubim, we'll get to our passage. So turn with us to Ezekiel chapter 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, have you ever heard of the terms behind the scenes or when the curtain's pulled back? We understand those terms in a human sense. Often there are things happening that we can't see behind the scenes. And when the curtain's pulled back, we see the reality of what's really going on. Well, we cannot see what is going on in heaven, but God, in His Word, pulls back the curtain every so often in His Word. And we're able to see the scene in heaven of what is going on. Now, today, we're going to see from a heavenly viewpoint the preparation for the judgment of the people of God who have rejected their God. Would you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 10, and we're going to see when God departs. And we're going to see this from a heavenly viewpoint, what's going on in the background. Now, as we've gone through the book of Ezekiel, the Lord God, when He made a covenant with His people, made it clear that if they obeyed, they would be blessed. If they disobeyed, they'd be cursed. Deuteronomy 28. And He made it clear of the ultimate discipline that would come upon them, or punishment for those who rejected Him, that they would be ejected from the land. And although the prophets continued to warn the people for year after year of their sin to repent, the northern kingdom didn't repent, and they were taken into captivity in 722. And then the southern kingdom, the prophets continued to share with them to repent, that God's discipline was coming upon them. Now, we know in 605 B.C. that Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Jerusalem, and he took the first set of captives, which included Daniel and his friends. And then in 597 B.C., Ezekiel and 10,000 others were taken. And then in 586 B.C., Jerusalem would be surrounded and sieged for 18 months and ultimately destroyed the town, the walls, the temple, many slaughtered, and the rest who remained taken captive. Now, Ezekiel is in Babylon as a captive, and he is prophesying to a captive people concerning their sin and concerning the sins of those who are soon to be judged by God in this awful siege. And yet there were those remaining in Judea still listening to the voices of false assurance, and the same with those whom he would prophesy to. Now, this book is centered around the third and final siege. The first 24 chapters, oracles or prophecies leading up to the siege. Chapters 25 through 32, prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then chapters 33 through 48, prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, Ezekiel was commissioned, and we saw that in chapter 1 and on, and we saw the siege signs and the sign sermons. It's clear that God would judge His people. And we saw the reason for God's wrath, that His people in their idolatrous hearts had broken His heart. They had continued in their idolatry. And God, being a just and righteous God, must execute the judgment He predicted He would do so in Deuteronomy. And we saw that He would bring an end to the inhabitants of the land. And then last week, we went on that journey that no one wants to take in Ezekiel's second vision, a vision which takes up four chapters, to which our portion is. We looked at chapters 8 and 9, that first half, and we saw in chapter 8 that he was taken on a tour of Israel's secret and private sins within the temple. We saw the wicked abominations being committed, and then we saw in chapter 9 what God would do in response, that he in just and right fashion would pour out his wrath on those who did not weep and groan over those sins. He would have no pity nor spare them. But yet we saw his graciousness to mark those who do weep over sin, who do have an attitude that is right towards sin and thus the Savior. They would mark them with the letter Tau. At that time would look like a cross. It would be on their heads, and they would be spared from his judgment. Now, chapters 8 and 9, I believe, in this vision give us, from a human viewpoint, why God's bringing his wrath upon these Israelites. And as we come to chapter 10 today, I believe we're going to see that wrath from a heavenly viewpoint. The curtain is going to be pulled back. So what happens? And let's take a look when God departs. Now, we're going to go through the whole chapter, so I usually read the whole portion first, but I'm going to just read each portion as we go through it. Notice, first of all, we have this judgment commanded. Verse 1, "Then I looked, and behold, in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone, in appearance resembling a throne, appeared above them. And he spoke to the man clothed in linen and said, 'Enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim and fill your hands with coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city.' And he entered in my sight. Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered, and the cloud filled the inner court." And you're going, oh boy, if you haven't been with us, Ezekiel, you're going, wow, okay, we got some interesting stuff going on here. You might remember, again, that this portion we're starting on is part of a four-chapter section. Back in chapter 8, we had the beginning of Ezekiel's second vision. And it's been about 14 months since he was commissioned in chapter 1. He's very close to the end of the bed of iniquity sign in which he was to lie on his left and his right for 430 days. And we have Ezekiel sitting in chapter 8 with the elders of Israel in exile in front of him. These were the religious leaders. And at this point, remember, the hand of the Lord was upon him, and he was caught up into the second vision, taken powerfully by the Spirit of God to Jerusalem, chapter 8, to the temple. And he was taken on that tour and shown the idolatrous abominations happening within the temple. And then in chapter 9, he was shown the holy and just and terrifying judgment of God against these abominable idolaters and idolatries, that everyone who did not have the mark would be slaughtered. And yet we saw God would spare those who grieved and mourned over those abominations, who grieved over sin. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, right? When we see our sin rightly, we have a heart that recognizes it's wrong, and we recognize that Christ paid the penalty for our sins. So we're in the middle of this vision in which Ezekiel is seeing these abominable idolatries and that God would pour out his wrath. And then we come to the statement in our passage, verse 1. "Then I looked, and behold, in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone, in appearance resembling a throne, appeared above them." Okay, again, the curtain's being pulled back. We're seeing something that the human eye doesn't see. God has to open the eyes to see the spiritual realities here, and we are seeing them through the Word of God. Now, you might remember back in 1, in Ezekiel's first vision of God in chapter 1, we saw the cherubim and the wheels, which we're going to look at in a moment. And there was an expanse above the heads of the cherubim, and a throne, and a man on the throne, as appearance of a man. Look back in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 22. I want to read part of this. Ezekiel 1, verse 22. "Now over the heads of the living beings there was something like an expanse, like the awesome gleam of crystal extended over their heads." Then go down to verse 25. "Now above the expanse that was over their heads there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance, and on that which resembled a throne, high up, was a figure with the appearance of a man." So, like what he saw in chapter 1, Ezekiel sees, "Then I looked, behold, the expanse over the heads of the cherubim," something back in our passage, chapter 10, verse 1, "something like a sapphire stone in appearance resembling a throne appeared above them." Now, this throne spoken of here in chapter 10 is described as something like a sapphire stone in appearance, that resembling a throne. Now, a sapphire is a beautiful blue gemstone. In chapter 1, they've translated it some lapis lazuli, which is also a beautiful blue gemstone, but it's the same word. So it's basically a throne that looks like a beautiful blue sapphire, something resembling that, above the expanse and above the cherubim. So then again, we have this heavenly throne of God, which is above the cherubim and the expanse, like we saw in chapter 1. And then it's implied from verse 2 that there's a voice that comes from this throne. Verse 2, "And he spoke to the man clothed in linen and said, 'Enter between the whirling wheels and under the cherubim, and fill your hands with the coals of fire between the cherubim and scatter them over the sea.'" Here's the basis of what he's going to go through and talk about in a little bit. This is the command to this man in linen clothing, as we'll see. It's a command. So the Lord of glory is on his throne, and he's speaking to this mysterious man clothed in linen we saw back in chapter 9 and 8. The one who had a writing case and was to mark the heads of those who groaned over their sin. And he was the one to protect them from God's righteous judgment. And remember, this man clothed in linen is most likely an angel. Now, the same man clothed in linen, in the form of a man, has another task. He's commanded, middle of verse 2, "Enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim and fill your hands with the coals of fire between the cherubim and scatter them over the city." Now, again, we're going to see in a moment, but like we saw in chapter 1 and later in this chapter, we have the cherubim, which are angels. And we have these whirling wheels under the cherubim. Now, let's go back and look at chapter 1 again. Let's look at this, because there's quite a description in chapter 1 of this scene that he sees here. And it's the same scene as we're going to see. He's going to say later on, "These were the cherubim, or the living beings that I saw at Chebar." He's going to say that twice. He's going to say, this is the same deal. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. "And as I looked, behold, a storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of fire. And within it there were figures resembling four living beings, and this was their appearance. They had human form. Each of them had four faces and four wings, and their legs were straight, and their feet were like calf's hoof, and they gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings on the four sides were human hands. As for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had a face of a man. The four had a face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left. And all four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being and two covering their bodies. And each went straight forward. Whenever the spirit was about to go, they would go without turning as they went. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire." This is what we're seeing in our passage, right? "Like torches darting back and forth among the living beings. And the fire was bright, and the lightning was flashing from the fire. And the living beings ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth besides the living beings, each of the four of them. The appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl, and all four of them had the same form, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another. Whenever they moved in any of the four directions without turning as they moved. As for the rims, they were lofty and awesome, and the rims of all four of them were full of eyes round about. And whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them, and whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close beside them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went. And whenever those stood still, these stood still. And whenever they rose from the earth, the wheels rose close beside them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels." Okay, so back to our passage. I'm not going to teach this vision again from chapter 1, but back in chapter 10. Remember what we saw in chapter 1. The storm was coming, the storm of God's judgment. coming from the north, God riding above the cherubim, ready to execute his judgment. The cherubim and the wheels, we just talked about that. Cherubim who display the glory of God. Our Lord, the King, who would take on human flesh in the appearance of a man here, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. In the midst of the cherubim, coals of fire in their midst. We see the wheels are full of eyes. Represents God's all-seeing, all-knowing, omniscience. And we know that the cherubim moved in perfect unison as the Spirit led them, and their spirits were inside the wheels. We know that God was leading them supernaturally to what he wanted them to do. Those little sparks and things flashing to and fro, they went flash like lightning. The events behind what we see, events in heaven, all happening in perfect harmony at the direction of the Lord who sees all and is above all. And so with that in mind, we have him, the one on the throne, back in our passage, chapter 10, verse 2. And he spoke to the man clothed in linen and said, "Enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim and fill your hands with the coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city." Now you remember back in chapter 1, we didn't see the word cherubim, but I said, these are cherubim. And we looked at chapter 10 because it said, these are the beings, as we'll see that he saw back in Shamar. These are cherubim, but you say, well, what are cherubim? Well, they're a type of living angelic spirit being. We have the phrase in chapter 1 and 3 and 10, the phrase living beings to describe these cherubim. And we have the word cherubim. Cherubim are angels. They are living angelic spiritual beings. These are elect angels. They're not fallen angels. These are elect angels here. We will see that Satan was a cherub, but he fell. Back in Genesis chapter 3, we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord had to drive them out of the garden so that they would not eat of the tree of life, lest they live forever in their dead state, in their sinful state. God is very gracious. So he stationed, Genesis 3:24, so he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of the life. The cherubim do God's will. They are ministering spirits to render service to those who will inherit salvation. We have that in Hebrews chapter 2. We know that the Lord reigns, Psalm 99, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. That's what we're seeing. Let the earth shake. And I mentioned in Ezekiel 28 later on that Satan is a fallen cherub. We know that he was created perfect. Ezekiel 28, he was perfect in beauty. He was in the Eden, the garden of God. Every stone was his covering. We know that he was created, Ezekiel 28:13. And Ezekiel 28:14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. He had a special place, I believe, reflecting the glory of God. And he was placed there, but then we know that he fell. And he says here, you were blameless in your ways, chapter 28:15, from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. He says, you were for the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You were corrupted because of your wisdom and splendor. And so he was cast down. And we know this covering cherub is God and his people's enemy. Continual, right? He is the one who opposes us. Don't give him a place. He's evil. He's wicked. But he was a cherub. Okay? We know in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, that we have the four living creatures there, most likely cherubim. They are those who were continually saying, "Holy, holy, holy, this is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We know from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5, the cherubim, they are a manifestation of the glory of God. The cherubim of glory. They're the cherubim of glory. Now, cherubim are portrayed slightly different in different places in form and number, the way God desires to reveal their activity. Sometimes two-faced, sometimes four, sometimes different wings, but they're still cherubim. They are living beings. They are created living beings to serve the Lord God, who do serve him perfectly and righteously. So back in our passage, Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 2, and he spoke to the man clothed in linen, that's the Lord on the throne, and said, enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim. Remember, you got the cherubim and you got these wheels, and we're going to talk about that. They're underneath them. He says, enter the whirling wheels and fill your hands with the coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city. Enter between the wheels, then from the cherubim, fill your hands with the coals of fire. Remember those coals, those flashes of light. So we saw this, these coals of fire signified God's holy and righteous judgment. He's to enter between the whirling wheels under the cherubim, fill his hands, this man in the linen, the one in the linen, and scatter them over the city. It absolutely points to the judgment of Jerusalem, who is ripe for judgment. We saw that back in chapter 9. Now, there are some who take this term coals of fire, and they look at the burning coal in Isaiah chapter 6, and they say, well, this is not a scattering of judgment. This is a purifying scattering. And they say how there was a coal taken from the altar and put on Isaiah's lips, and his iniquity was forgiven. Yes, that's true, but those coals were on the altar. Think about the altar. The altar's for sacrifice. We know that Jesus Christ took our judgment, and it is from that that we have the forgiveness of sins. This is a judgment upon unrepentant sinners in Jerusalem. That's what these coals are, and that's what they symbolize, and they're to be thrown over the city. So God's wrath here is going to be poured out on sin and sinners. Here, on his people who've rejected him, but also we see this description, the day of the Lord. No matter what, we either by faith accept the sacrifice of Christ in which God's wrath was poured out on him in our place, or God's wrath will be poured out on sin and sinners. It's your choice. And this is the case with Israel. Year after year, the Lord had been beckoning them. Even in Ezekiel, we'll see, do I take any pleasure in the deck of the wicked? Rather, they would repent and live. They had been unrepentant in their abominable, synchronistic idolatries, and now his wrath would be poured out upon them. And so at this point, the man clothed in linen obeys. This is behind the scenes and in the heavenlies. And the scene is set for God's presence thus to be removed. Notice, after he filled his hands with the coals between the cherubim and to scatter them over the city, he says, we see end of verse 2, and he entered my sight. So God is saying, here, do this to the guy. And now the guy enters into Ezekiel's sight in this vision. Now look at verse 3. Now the cherubim, remember Ezekiel was brought to Jerusalem. He's in the temple, right? He's there in Jerusalem. Okay? Now the cherubim were standing on the right side, verse 3, of the temple when the man entered. And the cloud filled the inner court. The scene is set. The man in linen, I believe, the angel enters in Ezekiel's sight. And there are cherubim by the right side of the temple. And then we have a cloud filled in the inner court. So we're inside the temple in the inner court. We're beginning to see things from a heavenly viewpoint in the earthly sphere, by the way, the temple, but from a heavenly viewpoint. And remember, chapters 8 and 9 are earthly viewpoint. Chapters 10 and 11, a heavenly viewpoint. So we have the man in linen who has coals of fire to scatter them over the city, signifying judgment. We have this, and then we have the cherubim standing on the right side of the temple. When this man entered the temple, under verse 3, the cloud filled the inner court. Now, in the back of your lessons, you can see a very simplistic view of this temple. The inner court, obviously, is where the cloud filled there. You can see that. And so with that in mind, we have this cloud filling the inner court. And folks, this is representative of the Lord's presence and glory.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what are some of your closing thoughts for us?
Well, Dave, as we've begun to see, we're now looking at a heavenly viewpoint of what we saw back in chapters 8 and 9, and we've just scratched the surface. So with this in mind, we'd encourage you to make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.